You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. What's up, guys? Trish Blackwell here, your host of Confidence on the Go, Confidence Radio. I'm so happy you are here. We are in episode number 218, and this is a pretty cool episode. We've not actually done anything like this before. It's an open Q&A. It's Ask Me Anything, and this is applying to really any spectrum of what I cover. I mean, you guys know that fundamentally, if you look at my umbrella of what I do, I'm a confidence coach. But what does that actually mean? I mean, if I were to take it one step further, I help go-getters get to the next level. And I think we all have the seed of being a go-getter inside of us. Internally, it's just how do we manifest that externally so we start taking action in life. And that applies to our fitness. It applies to our spiritual walk with God. It applies to our family, our quality of life, and our businesses. And so we're kind of going to cover a lot of stuff here. This is what we like to call our mind, our movement, and our meaning. So another way I like to say that, if you maybe you're not familiar with what we do here at Confidence on the Go, we are a movement. This isn't a podcast about Trish, right? This at all. I am a facilitator of encouragement for you. And that is it. We are in this together, this beautiful journey of life. And we're on the Be More movement, just being a little bit more of who we can be each and every day. And because we know when we do that, we can go to bed with peace and joy in our heart and wake up with enthusiasm and an eagerness and a desire to learn, because that's what we're doing each and every day. We're living and we're learning. And that is growth. And when you are growing, you are engaging and you're present in life. And that, my friends, is when we bloom the most beautifully. So I want to welcome you if you're a new listener. Thank you for hanging out. I'm so glad you found me. Maybe a friend recommended the show. Maybe you just stumbled upon it in iTunes. However you came here, I do believe you came for a reason. And I also want to give my virtual high fives and hugs to all of those who are returning listeners. You guys, you are my people. I love you. I love hanging out every Tuesday with you. So specifically, like, you know, I typically have three things we cover in every episode. Well, we've got a lot more than that. I've got questions on everything and anything. I've got time management questions. I've got reading and journaling questions, body image resource questions, toxic relationship questions, body confidence questions, weight loss questions, business questions, building a business, you name it. We're going to dive in and get through as many as we can today. That being said, this was so well responded to when I put this note up on Facebook that I wanted some questions, that I'm going to do another episode. So if you have a burning question in your heart that you've always wanted, you've wondered that, man, how would Trish answer this? Or what advice would Trish give? Or how did Trish do this? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on blank? I would be thrilled to be able to answer those for you. So send me an email. I'm going to do an episode of like this probably in the near future. And I would love to get your question addressed on the air, because it's just an easier way. That, I mean, I love emailing you guys back, but I never get as thorough. You can't hear my real energy, enthusiasm through an email the same way you can through the podcast. So send me an email with your question and I'll answer it on the next open Q&A everything. And my email address, if you don't yet know, it's simple. It's trish@trishblackwell.com. I mean, easy peasy, right? trish@trishblackwell.com. So I cannot wait to dive in. And I mean, we can talk about platform building. You can ask me about personal training. You can ask me about building a beautiful relationship and marriage. You can ask me about parenting. We can talk about body confidence. We can talk about believing your dreams, overcoming self-doubt, you name it. I'd love to talk to you about it. So before we dive into some of these questions, I do want to do a quick announcement. And then, of course, our sponsorship note. As always, before we dive into that, a quick hello to all my Keep the Faith listeners out there. You guys, thank you for being a part of this extended community of Contagious Encouragement. And I do want to let you guys know, I'm really pleased to announce that I'm expanding my coaching spots. And I have two current confidence consulting open spots for new clients. And specifically, I'm seeking to serve go-getters who have a passionate desire to take their business or something specific about their personal and professional growth to the next level. So this might be you if you're an entrepreneur, if you're looking to build a stronger brand and platform, if you're writing your first book, if you're trying to 10X your network marketing business, or if you're generally seeking to make a deep and significant impact with your life. You can contact me directly for time availability and coaching rates at Trish at trishblackwell.com. Now, our sponsorship note, you guys, is brought to you by my partnership with Beauty Counter. Beauty Counter is this amazing company that I get the privilege of working with, and I'm in love with everything that we do. They are the only products I use for myself and my family. They are the safest products out there. We are not only a company that's committed to creating beautiful, safe products that perform, but we're really committed to education and advocacy. We're more than just a beauty company. We're a movement and a mission-based company, and that's an amazing thing to be part of. I'd love for you to get some Beauty Counter in your hands and feel and experience the difference for your health and for your own self-care. And you can do that by shopping at beautycounter.com/Trish Blackwell. And always, if you want to do something like I do with Beauty Counter, I would be, man, over the moon to mentor you personally in growing your business in Beauty Counter. So you can reach out to me, shoot me an email if that is something that appeals to you. Just shoot me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Okay, let's do it, guys. Let's dive into our Ask Anything podcast episode. Here, our first question is from my good friend and girl. She said I could say her whole name, but she knows I can't pronounce her name. So she is a good friend of mine. She's passionate about safer beauty. She's interested in Beauty Counter. She's in the College of Confidence. This girl is freaking awesome as far as building her dreams and entrepreneurship. Her name is Daniela, and I don't know how to say her last name because it's amazing and long. And I set my limits. So Daniela, you know who you are, girlfriend. Here's her question. She said, Trish, I'm wondering if you could create or refer to me some content on dealing with toxic relationships in your life that you can't easily cut off. There's a lot I've already learned from your podcast and other resources, but I still thought I would reach out and ask. Thank you in advance. And what a great, great question, Daniela. For toxic relationships, the number one resource I always recommend is Dr. Henry Cloud's book on boundaries. Toxic relationships, I think also, I mean, they start by first having to know how to identify them, and then realizing that a lot of times the problem with toxic relationships is that we feel like these are often people that are crucial and core to our lives or unable to be avoided. And so we think, it's always going to be toxic. It's always going to be this way. And I want to tell you, it's not. That you have more control and you do have power of your boundary setting. This is actually something I went to counseling for over a year and working on dealing with my toxic relationships in my life because it was dealing with some people that were very close to my heart. And I made a lot of excuses because a lot of times when we have toxic relationships with people that we allow to become toxic, that we're not setting proper boundaries, it's because we love these people so much. So we tolerate things that shouldn't be tolerated and we end up suffering. And it causes us a lot of heartache and guilt and pain and so my number one recommendation would be to go seek counseling or seek a therapist. I think it's an amazing thing to be able to talk to a third party, talk through and really identify why am I making excuses, why am I permitting this behavior to continue, and understanding your role and your power in these boundary settings. Now, that being said, I made a ton of progress in that. I am not perfect on that by any means. And so that was probably about four years ago, I started working on this with my counselor. And, you know, we addressed it and moved on. And I actually was able to kind of move on from there. But I have had a couple times when those relationships kind of became toxic again. And I don't want to say I called like an emergency session with my therapist, but in many ways I did. I reconnected and in just 1 hour of kind of re-talking through and really going, oh my gosh, that's where I let those boundaries down again. I started blending the lines. I stopped remembering I have control. I stopped taking responsibility for my emotions and my actions and not those of others. So it's a good refresher and it's good for me to always know when I'm not paying attention to the boundaries in my life around toxic relationships and around what I know I value and what I don't. The problem I think often when toxic relationships become overwhelming in our lives is because we often don't stand up for ourselves. We have to, if you want to get rid of toxic relationships in your life, you have to set the minimum standard of how you expect and you will accept to be treated. And so that's hard. That's a confidence issue to say, I need to tell someone no in order, and to change them. Like, I need to separate and distance myself because I know I deserve better, more respect. I deserve this. I'm going to treat myself with more respect by not allowing that toxicity close to me. And it's really hard, especially if it's someone close to you. But once you become aware that you learn that, then you can stay consistent and you have to be attentive to it. When those toxic relationships kind of get out of balance again, it's often because you haven't been paying attention. You've let some things slide. And then you might find yourself needing to kind of go back to a almost like an hour journaling or an hour with a counselor where you kind of go, okay, well, where did this go wrong? Where did I let my guard down, and how do I restart from there? But if you want a book to start, The Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud is fantastic. And then, I think the number one thing is to know toxic relationships do not have to be in your life. It's up to you if they are in your life or not. So I think identifying who is toxic and who isn't is really crucial of identifying where that role plays in. And identifying toxicity is a really important way for you to become more aware of what are the kinds of people that I'm going to tolerate and allow in my life, right? So I think that's an interesting way to look at it too. So I hope that helped, Danielle. I thought it was a fantastic, fantastic question. My next question actually came from multiple people, and it's one I've gotten a lot, so I wanted to cover it. And this is simple. How did you get started as a confidence coach? How did you build a business? And where does one start if they want to do something similar, right? So let me give you the nutshell breakdown of that. I started as a confidence coach. Man, it's been about 8 years now in theory, and then really probably five to six in actually application of it. And I started because it was just so heavy on my heart to help people. So the long story of it, I went to college. I majored in French. I thought I was going to live in France. I lived in France for a year and a half, and thought that I was just going to travel the world my whole life. Well, I ended up missing the United States, and I came back and to the U.S. and started working as a personal trainer while I waited for some government background clearance to go through. I thought I wanted to work for the CIA and the clandestine services at that point I was I was fluent in French, and I was very fluent in Spanish as well. Unfortunately, I've lost a lot of my Spanish because I'm speaking so much French now. And so I thought, well, linguistics is my thing, and I'm going to learn this, and I'm going to be single my whole life. And that was my dream, right? I thought I was just going to travel the world and learn new languages and work for the government. Well, during that time I was waiting for that background check to go through, I actually fell into personal training because I needed to make some money. And having an athletic background, it seemed like an easy fit. So I fell in love with the fitness industry, so much so that I changed my mind about what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to work for the government anymore. Because I work in the DC area, I live in the DC area, I had a lot of government employees that were my clients and training clients. Every single one of them was miserable. They hated working for the government. And that made me second guess it, because I was like, wow, I love 90% of my job. These people love 10% of their job. Maybe there's something good about what I'm doing, right? And so I fell in love with this personal connection with people, with helping people transform their body from the inside out. And I realized that, you know, personal training and getting people to a weight loss goal or a fitness goal is all science. I mean, it's anyone can do it. Motivating people, that takes some personal connection, right? And some personality understanding, emotional intelligence, so to speak, right? And I managed that, and I worked through that, and it was awesome. And I was always high energy. It was just an amazing time in my life, right? But what I found was that it didn't matter. I could get anybody to lose 100 pounds. But the mark of a great trainer was helping somebody keep it off. And in order for somebody to keep weight off, they have to have, something had to happen between their ears. It wasn't about what was happening in the gym. It was about what was happening in their mind while they were at the gym. And I fell in love with my specialty in training was working with eating disorders. So people with similar issues to body image issues that I had, but then also working with, my dad is obese. And so I grew up with an overweight father. So I have a sensitivity towards weight loss and helping people break free from decades of feeling stuck. And so I really worked with these kind of extreme spectrums, people who looked really fit, but were very insecure, and people who were very overweight, but felt stuck, and like Nick, they tried everything and anything and couldn't get there. And what was so fascinating is that both of those spectrums of people, I actually kind of did the same thing. The workouts were different, but the work that we did, the mental work, was what was so amazingly similar. And I realized that what I was doing at that point was confidence coaching without realizing that that's what I was doing. And that's what I fell in love with. So I realized I wanted to change the way people thought. And when I changed the way people thought, I could help them train their thoughts. It changed everything about how they trained their bodies and how they got their physical results, which then changed this self-confidence that then helped them change their relationships, their careers. I mean, you know, like their lives just took off. And there was a point where I went, I think, you know, I'm passionate about fitness. I love it. But I realized what I was really passionate was the inner work that was going on while I was doing the fitness. And so I was working with a mastermind group and a mentorship and a mentor. And I said, listen, this is what I'm passionate about, but confidence coaching doesn't exist. Like, should I, like, I think that's what I am. I think I'm a confidence coach, but like, what do I do? I don't know how to go get certified in that. And he laughed at me. He said, well, that's exactly the point. I don't think you get certified in that. I think you just go create it. Like, you are creating your own trail. You are bushwhacking your own trail, Trish. This is, you are creating the subset of life coaching called confidence coaching. And that is your new business. And your qualifications are the fact that you're passionate about it and you have experience and you've been studying it for years and you've been applying it for years. So go bushwhack your way through that unknown forest and create the path. And so that's what I did. So there was no, like, I didn't have a lot of direction. I kind of felt at some points, you know, hey, I don't even know if I have the confidence to be a confidence coach. Like, I certainly didn't feel qualified. I felt overwhelmed a lot, but here's what I knew to be true. I had to listen to my heart. I had to know that I was doing what I was created to do. And that's how I started building a business. And so during this time too, I had this book on my heart about body image, my book called The Skinny Sexy Mind, The Ultimate French Secret, where I wanted to take what I learned in Europe while living there and how I really found freedom from my eating disorder, my body image issues, and my relationship with food. And I knew I was passionate about writing. And so I wanted to put that book out there. But what I learned in the writing process and the publication process is that nobody wants to publish a book unless you've got a platform. And at that point, I didn't even know what platform meant. And it turns out a platform means your social media presence. Where's your blog? What does your website look like? How many followers do you have? How engaged are they? I only built a business because I wanted to write a book. And so writing this book and this idea of going, wait, I actually am a confidence coach, kind of came hand in hand. And so as cumulatively at the same time, I started building a business. And I did it by first blogging. My blog then transformed into a website and then coaching programs and coaching services from there. And so I started by doing it all on my own, you know, and then after about a year, I hired a website developer and I learned some SEO. And every day I said, okay, you're going to learn one thing that you're going to apply to your business and you're going to be a student of this. And that's kind of how it's morphed. And then eventually, you know, I maintain my personal training certification because that's really important to me. And it's important that I stay in the fitness industry as well. And I became life coach certified. And I get a lot of questions about both of those certifications. Like, is there a right one? Is there a better one? I mean, yes, there are some that are, you could say, are better than others. At the end of the day, you guys, it's not your certifications that make you great at what you do. It's your heart. So I would spend less time worrying about what certification you have, and I would just go get certified or just go start. I started and I wasn't certified. I loved and I studied the heck out of what I did. And I read, you know, I was reading 50 to 80 books a year. I'm just devouring content, learning all the time. And that's what's going to make you great at what you do. And so that's kind of how my business built. And so the rest is history. I started the podcast and I, you know, created these different programs. And all of a sudden, as I was moving forward, I realized I'm building my dream business. And when I met my husband, I realized, going back to my original part of the story, that I still could travel the world and do what fulfilled my soul. And so we kind of created this long-term plan of what would it mean if I could have a business that was rotated around my laptop. That means I could wake up in Italy. I could wake up in South Africa. I could wake up in Virginia. Y'all would not know the difference, right? And so that was the original vision. And now, being a mom, this concept that I spent 5 years building this business without realizing that, oh my gosh, this is the perfect mompreneur business that I want to be location independent. So a couple of things I want to share with you here. When you're building a business, you need to know what matters to you. Do you want to be location independent or do you want brick and mortar? The other thing, don't overthink getting started. Just start. And this is something I learned from my husband, and we were dating at the time. I would overthink things, and I wanted it to look perfect. Your website, you guys, is never going to look perfect. You're never going to feel qualified. You're always going to feel a little bit like an imposter. But you know what's true? If you know in your heart you were created to help people, or you have a product that's going to help people, or you have a business that service that's going to help people, why the heck would you delay putting it out there? If you really care about helping others, if you care more about it looking perfect and being ready and being the right timing, well, then you can wait and it can be in your own timing. But if you really are doing it to help other people, you need to get it out there. So the biggest, I guess, best advice I can give that was given to me was just take action. Take action before you feel like you're ready to do it. So if you want to create something similar, just start. And I need you to know it's going to feel scary to put yourself out there. It's scary to build your own website. It's sometimes embarrassing to put a blog post out there and just hope that somebody's going to read it and wonder if they will. But if you want to help people, you're going to do it anyways. You're not going to let the self-doubt get in your way. So I hope that was a good thorough answer. I know a lot of you have been wondering that. How did you even become a confidence coach, right? Like, where did this come from? The next question. All right, next question is from Angela Weeks. Here it is. Angela says, can you share a story where it was hard to trust God / the process / keep the faith? And how did you handle it? And of course, how did God provide or deliver? I love hearing little stories, she said. And so, okay, so a story where it was hard to trust God and the process. Absolutely. For me, I've got the first one that comes to mind, it was really hard for me to trust God when I was rock bottom. You guys, and if you don't know my rock bottom story, here it is in a nutshell. I moved back from France. I was working hard to rebuild my, you know, to create a life for myself here in the United States. And I met the man of my dreams. I thought he was amazing. We were engaged. We moved to Chicago. Turns out he was abusive and a drug addict, and it was horrible. And I had to be rescued from the situation, but I was heartbroken because I had to leave this man that I was still in love with, but he was horrible in so many ways. So I'm heartbroken. And then I rebuild. I spent a full year of rebuilding. I buy myself a brand new car. I'm broke at that point because he had stolen a lot of money from me. So I had no car, nothing. I was living at my parents' house again. It was horrible. Rebuilding, completely just depressed. And then I spent 6 months doing everything I could, working 70-hour weeks. I bought a house. I bought a car. I paid for my car within like 6 months, paid cash. It was amazing, right? Brand new car. And then the week I bought my house, I went out celebrating with some family members, some cousins, and was violently attacked and raped by a stranger, and woke up in a seedy hotel room, you know, just horrible, worst fear happening to me. Woke up thinking I was being choked to death. And so after that, you know, I'm a single girl who was like trying to rebuild my confidence, trying to rebuild, like, I can do anything. Then I move into this brand new house I bought for myself, and I'm terrified. I was terrified to sleep. I was terrified to do anything. So that was low, right? And I remember feeling very far from God and thinking, like, all right, I'm heartbroken. I had to break off this engagement. I've been abused. Now I've been attacked. Now, in that point too, I was worried about diseases and if I was going to be pregnant with somebody else's, this random horrible person's child. And you know, when you have that anxiety, you end up, stress affects your hormones. It was a rock bottom, you guys. And I would say I handled it well, but not well. And so I handled it by just saying it's to myself every day, it will get better. And I did not feel the presence of God at that moment, but I still knew he was there. Because I felt like when I woke up in that seedy hotel room, I was so close to dying. And because I didn't die, I even though I felt like, I mean, I was even struggled to pray at that point, even though I couldn't pray, I went, I know that there's a reason I'm alive. Like, I had this taste of death. I've had this taste of heartbreak. I've had a taste of depression. And I'm like, why all at one time, right? Why does it have to be like this? And because it felt so, the pain felt so deep, I knew that there had to be joy on the other side. I knew there had to be hope. There had to be joy, that you couldn't get, the pain couldn't get very much deeper than what I felt. And so every day I woke up, and the hope I found was, hey, there's going to be somebody beautiful that's going to make me smile today. And so every person that made me smile, I just went, that's my gift. That's the gift from God today. God feels far, but he gave me a gift today. And you guys, little by little, and then I got therapy, and I did the right steps. All those events together have made me into this person I am today with strength that I never knew I had. And so it turns out that rock bottom was my turnaround of life. It was my transformational point. You would not be getting the Trish you get on this podcast or in my College of Confidence or my confidence coaching had I not gone through that, because the strength comes from the struggle. Another story, so that's Angela, that was probably a pretty deep answer to you. Let me give you one other story of where it was hard to trust. It was hard for me to trust. The other story that comes to mind, trust closed doors. Oh, how many closed doors? And we're talking about building my business, right? And entrepreneurship. I a couple closed doors, like dreams that I thought that were supposed to work out, that just the door closed. And it's like, how I thought, God, I thought this was what you had for me, and I thought this was the be all and end all. And how is it that I keep moving on? I feel like a failure. I feel like a disappointment. And the first one was for me athletically, when I was on track to kind of make this Olympic quality of swimming and competition. And then I kind of plateaued right before the Olympic trial level. And I went, well, how is that possible? Right. And that was what I'm supposed to do. And then the next thing were, at this Watson Fellowship that I applied for after college, I thought I was supposed to travel the world and change the world for body image. And I had this perfect plan, and I got the first round of interviews, and I didn't get the next one. And then it was, okay, well, this is opportunity to work with the International Olympic Committee. Hey, I'm not going to be in the Olympics, but I had the president of the IOC actually write me a letter of recommendation, and I still didn't get this job. I was supposed to work for, I had this really huge potential to work for the London Games and the Games in Italy, and because especially using my languages, and both of those opportunities, even though I had amazing recommendations, fell through. And then it was the opportunity, I tried out, and I was American Gladiator, and I was on with auditions. It was supposed to be on NBC, and I get so far, and I go through the fifth round of interviews, and then they say, pack your bag, we're flying you to LA tomorrow. And then that fell through. And then it was, the CIA stuff not work, everything that I thought I was supposed to do, that it was like, this is my destiny. The doors kept closing. And my answer to your question is, how did I handle it and how did I keep going, right? Was I knew that God had put voice and strength in me, and that at some point something was going to pan out, and I had to keep my eye in my own lane. It was hard to not look around at my friends who had very clear, easy paths. They're not easy paths, but very direct. Hey, you're going to be a doctor. That's very understood. Okay, this is the step, step 1 through 10 is laid out for you. I didn't have that same path. And that was hard and challenging to find patience in that. And so, and here's how did God deliver? I mean, he delivered he closed all those doors so that I would be doing what I'm doing today. If those doors hadn't closed, I would not be here, which is really amazing that God knew my dream life was actually this, and I didn't yet know what it was. So I hope that answers. That's a good answer to your question there. Our next question, and my goodness, we might actually turn this into two episodes. I'm not going quickly through these questions. Our next question is from Elda Nefat, and Elda connected on Facebook. And oh, guys, by the way, if you want to make sure you don't miss other announcements like this and opportunities to submit questions, you got to be on Facebook with me. So go to facebook.com/TrishBlackwellFitness. Here's what Elda's question is. Trish, my question is, how do you stay organized in your business? I have a health and wellness business on the side, and they say, get your power hour in. However, I think I need 5 power hours. I know it's not because I'm not organized, but how do you do it with your kids and family? And Elda, that's an amazing question. And I honor you for just saying, like, I know I can do this health and wellness business as a side hustle, but there has to be, and I don't believe in the word balance necessarily, but there has to be a way to be more strategic about my time. And Elda, I have a couple things for you. One, I write everything down. My planner is like attached to me. I don't go anywhere without it. I really don't. I don't go out. If my husband and I go out to dinner for a dinner date, I don't bring it. But that's about the only place I don't bring it. It is in my gym bag. It is in the car. It's in my purse. Anywhere I go that way, I always know what I'm doing. I need to have it written down versus electronic. That's just my personal preference. But I stay organized in my business by knowing I do certain things. I do what's called blocking. So I know that I do creativity at specific times and content creation at other times and then execution at other times. So for example, I do a day, 2 days a week where I will do recordings. So I'll record a podcast episode. I record some video for my College of Confidence. I record maybe a pre-recorded video I'm going to post on Facebook. Anything that's going to demand, there's a different type of emotional energy that comes out, like what I'm doing right now, right? So that's a different mindset I have to be in. So I've clumped all that together in one chunk of, 3-4 hour chunk. And then on my creativity, I write podcast outlines or email outlines or blog post outlines. All my writing is done at a different time. Then I obviously have invoicing and I have the business side of things I need to do, which is also done at a different time. So that's one thing I do. Time blocking like that, categorizing my blocking helps a lot. The other thing that helps is setting up to know what days I do what. So I know that on a Sunday is when I plan all my emails for the week. So those are all teed up that we don't worry about it the rest of the week. On a Tuesday, you better believe that Tuesday, this podcast post, but on Monday night, I have it all teed up and it's ready to go. I've set myself up with deadlines to keep me focused. Now, I also do, in addition to my Trish Blackwell business, I also work with Beauty Counter. So you might be thinking, well, how do you work those hours in? And I work Beauty Counter probably about 4 to 5 hours a week. And that is typically during my daughter's nap time. So I know that usually she sleeps from 2 to 5. Well, that's too long, 2:30 to 5. And I know that I can always get a solid hour, one each nap of a week, that's where I'm getting that. So that's where I get my 5 hours. So I work around my daughter's schedule. And I will tell you a secret, another huge thing I have. I have a babysitter twice a week that works that Ellie loves. And she goes and plays with a bunch of other 2 and 3 year olds her age. And that's just for 4 hours in the morning. So 2 mornings a week, I do have a sitter. It's been the best thing I've ever done for my business, having some. And I'll tell you, when I have 4 hours like that I can just focus solely, I get like 8 hours of work done in that 4 hour time because it's so precious, right? And then on the days I don't have that, we belong to an amazing gym that has a great cafe and great Wi-Fi. So on those days that I don't have that babysitter, I do a shorter workout. So she's allowed to go to the gym for 2 hours. And they have an amazing kid zone and she has a blast and she's got all these friends there. So we go in, like today, I went in and I jumped on the treadmill for an hour and then I had another hour. So I always bring my laptop and that's where I'll catch up on emails. I'll drink a protein shake or a coffee and I'll do emails, even if it's for a half hour, and I can give that my full focus. And then I pick her up, she's had a good time, she's played. And then when it's time, when it's just me and her, we can go to the park for an hour and a half. And I don't have guilt, I don't feel behind in my business, I don't feel overwhelmed. And when we sit down to lunch, we can sit down and we play together and we eat together. And so it's setting yourself up in the small segments and the slices of life that you can so that you stay hyper-focused. Now, when work revs up, I do the thing I do if I need some extra time. I'll get up before everybody else is. And so an extra hour in the morning can be game-changing. So I hope that helps. I hope that answers your question. And you guys, I'm going to split these questions into 2 episodes. So let me do one more for this episode. And then we will rock out another episode next week with the rest of these questions. So this one is from, and we'll see how fast I get through this one. We might be able to do 2 more questions. This one's from Jessica. She said, I wanted to message you and just let you know that I started listening to your confidence podcast and I absolutely love it. I love how transparent you are and that you're just so real with yourself and people. I'm really struggling right now. I'm the heaviest I've ever been and I just don't know what steps to take. I need to take the steps, but I'm scared because I don't want to overdo it and become obsessed with where I am with my weight. I was just wondering if you could give me some tips on how to start to change my life. I would love to take your College of Confidence, but I just don't have the time right now. And I'm ready to change to get ready to change to be healthy and fit without being obsessed. Thank you and God bless, Jessica. And Jessica, I'm excited for you to come join us in the College of Confidence whenever you're ready. So girl, I'm always here for you. Secondly, you hit my heart of a personal trainer here. So here's the deal. I like that you're acknowledging that it's, how do you focus without being compulsive and obsessed? And you're speaking with somebody who had an eating disorder for 10 years and it became obsessive and it is hard to differentiate that balance and where's that fine line? Here's what I need you to do. I do need your hyper focus. If you are the heaviest you've ever been and it's not healthy and you don't feel good, I don't want you to be scared because you're not going to overdo it. You're going to choose not to be obsessed with your weight because your weight is not going to define you. I want you to instead focus on why does the weight loss matter to you? What is the weight keeping you from in life? Rather than worrying about the number on the scale, because that number on the scale does not define you, I want you to focus on what you're going to be able to do and how you're going to be able to do more things in life. I have a couple clients who have weight loss as a goal. One of their goals is to be more comfortable in an airplane so they can go travel the world comfortably without feeling like they have to buy two seats on an airplane. Like that's a really legitimate goal. And that would drive me emotionally. I've worked with somebody who, we used to live close to an amusement park called King's Dominion. And some of my clients, their weight loss goals were around, I want to ride these roller coasters with my kids. And I cannot deal with the anxiety of not knowing if I'm going to stand in line for 40 minutes, if I'm going to be embarrassed because I can't, the straps on the roller coaster don't fit around me. Like those, I'm talking quality of life, you know, and I'm not sure what your weight loss is. It might not be something that's extreme, but at any point, if you're heavier than you've ever been and you don't feel good and you feel limited in life, we've got to do something about it. And to some point, you will have to be hyper-focused and not obsessed, but this is the hyper-focus. It's a small window of focus where you're going to have to hyper-focus. Once you get to a weight where you're at a more manageable weight, the focus can come off a little bit. So I think that you have to know if it's 100 pounds you're going to lose, you're going to hyper focus for the first 70, and you're going to give yourself some slack and some leeway for the last 30. So you got to know that it's going to be kind of be an ebb and flow. But to get those results you want, you do have to dial in. I do think I think setting up some parameters for yourself to know what helps you succeed the most is going to help. I really recommend for people food journaling, tracking your water, and planning out your workouts and meal prepping and planning, knowing what you need to do. And here's the bottom line, like whether you like to do it or not, sometimes we just have to say, look, I got myself in this position. I have to get myself out. Like, I think it's when you can take ownership of this didn't come on overnight. And so it's not going to come off overnight. And so be kind to yourself and be patient in that. So that way you don't have to be obsessed, but you can take the ownership and say, okay, I made some choices to get here. And that sucks because they were bad choices. Now I'm going to make good choices that sometimes I'm not going to want to make, but I'm going to do it anyways to get me where I know I need to go. And that will make you feel amazing. And so the best way to start is to just start. So you're going to change your life by every week, just focusing on tracking where you are and saying to yourself when you wake up, I'm doing this. I am a conqueror. I am victorious. I will win this battle. And I am going to make this journey beautiful. I want you to look, Jessica, I want you to look for the beauty in the journey. I want you to celebrate every half a pound. I want you to celebrate every, limitation that you overcome that isn't a limitation anymore. I want you to be proud of when you break 10,000 steps and one day you have 15,000 steps, the mobility that increases. I want you to celebrate those little things. That's how you're not going to become obsessed, because I want you to realize I don't want you so hyper-focused on the destination that you lose the journey. The journey can still be beautiful. And yeah, are you going to have to make some food restrictions and changes that maybe aren't as glorious as what you want. But there's still beautiful ways to eat clean that you're going to enjoy and find some splurges. And I don't think going 100% extreme, I'm not looking for extreme. I'm looking for smart, balanced, clean eating where you know what you're putting in your body. Because if you know what you're putting in, you know what you're going to get out. Here's the bottom line. I know you can do this for sure. I might be able to take one quick question. Oh, one more. Which one would be good? Hold on. Oh, Okay. This one I'm going to split because Danielle Fink, actually, she's our listener of the episode. Just spoiled it. But I'm going to get to her listener of the episode. She asked two questions, and I'm going to answer one of these in this episode and one in the next. Her first question is on journaling, which is, I think, a great question. A lot of people have come up. Here's what she says. She says, Trish, I'm trying to start journaling, but I can't seem to get started. I'm not quite sure what to write about and where to get my thoughts to going to be a productive journaling session. It's almost intimidating, which I realize is ridiculous because it's just my journal and just for me. But in all reality, I really don't know what to write. What are your suggestions, topics, etc.? I appreciate any feedback. Here, Danielle, awesome question. I think there's a lot of people out there wondering the same thing. I think first and foremost, I think it's important to have a beautiful journal. I think you should have a journal that gives you joy when you pull it out. Another thing, if you don't want to handwrite a journal, it's okay to do a Word document. I keep a Word document journal and a handwritten journal. That way I can just bounce back and forth depending on my preferences. And then as far as a productive journaling session, I don't think there's such a thing. I think when you journal, you should journal for time. And I think when you're just starting, I think 10 minutes. And I think this is a good start. And I want you to just journal and just open free flow of thoughts. Maybe you write a letter to your mom or to a friend or to God. Or for me, since I'm pregnant, sometimes when I'm journaling, I write letters to my unborn child, right? Letters that then I realize, oh, that's beautiful. And then I've created a folder of letters. When I was pregnant with Ellie, I wrote prayers for her. Prayers that I wanted to pray over her. When I'm going through something, if I've had a bad day and I'm feeling emotional and heavy, that's when I will journal about just my feelings and my heart. I try to describe what is this inner turmoil I feel? And, you know, like if there's a need to journal, then dive into those emotions. Maybe there's journaling is a gratitude journal. I think topically good things you could journal about are the things that bring you joy in life. What makes you have joy? What makes your heart sing? Other suggestions are your favorite childhood memories or your favorite memory of the day. Another way of journaling that I've always loved is something we call in French, au bas. My friends and I started, au means high and bas means low. So it's like your high, low. So maybe it's just your au bas of the day. What's your high and your low? What's your greatest thing of the day? What was your bummer of the day? Or I think a great journaling topic is how have you failed today? I think it's a brilliant way to look at failure. That we're actually striving to fail every day. Because if you're striving to fail, it means you're getting out there and doing something, right? So here's the bottom line. There's no judgment. There's no productivity. It's just starting and writing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a daily thing, but I think it needs to be a multiple time a week thing. And I think you'll get in the groove and you'll find a way that works for you. I think traveling wise, that's always easier to journal because you want to kind of keep track of where you went, what you saw, what you learned, what amazed you, all that. But in general, like, girl, just let yourself write. And you might find yourself that you might write two sentences. It might be two paragraphs or it might be two pages. And I don't think it matters. I think journaling and putting pen to paper increases your overall awareness. If you're a business owner, by the way, I think journaling about where do I want to take my business? What am I going to do? Where's my dream? How do I want to impact people? What is my why, right? What are some ideas? Maybe it's just an idea journal. So there's a lot of ways we can skin this cat here. I hope that helps and I hope that inspires you. So, and I gave it away, right? So our listener of the episode is Danielle Fink. Here's what she said. She said, I just listened to episode number 14 and I'm totally inspired. I shared it on my Facebook page and here's what I said. Here's what she said on Facebook. Podcast, Confidence of the Go, episode today talked about acting like a pirate. This is genius. Pirates are tenacious, goal-oriented, and fearless. They don't ask permission to achieve a goal. They just go out and do it, figuring out the steps as they go. They keep their eye on a prize. They don't quit because quitting means they're done. They tell themselves that they will conquer something and they never doubt it. Be awesome, escape average, act like a pirate when it comes to your dreams in life. And Danielle, I had forgotten I had done that episode and I'm proud of you for going back way in the archives to number 14. And you guys, if you want to do what Danielle has done, you can just find all the episodes of Confidence in the Go at trishblackwell.com/podcasts. And I think you should go check out number 14. It is a good episode on acting like a pirate and how to get confidence of just going, look, I mean, it's almost like you burn the ships. I'm in, I'm going to make this work. I'm in, I'm committed. And I'm just going to be fearless and tenacious and goal-oriented and not ask permission to achieve a goal. I'm just going to go out and do it. So Danielle, I highlighted you because I loved your questions that you submitted. One that we just covered and the one that we're going to cover in the next episode. And then of course, I loved that you brought this memory to mind because I had forgotten this topic completely. So you guys, I do have one quick announcement before we close out the show today. If you want to find freedom from the choke of comparison, I need you to know that the College of Confidence is for you. And in fact, I recently was speaking with one of my our college attendees, and she shared something really, really, I thought, beautiful. And I wanted to share it with you. Let me get this pulled up for us here. And she said, you know, it's from Victoria Lewis. And she said, when I started When I first heard about the College of Confidence, I thought to myself, sounds nice, but maybe it's not for me. I don't know if it's something I can commit to right now, and I don't know what to expect. But something in me was pushing me to try. Maybe it was your mention of you can cancel at any time that made me actually sign up. Or maybe it was just a gut feeling of, I don't know what this will be like, but I know I need something in my life right now. And let me just tell you, it only took a few days for me to realize how special and powerful this community is. It is because of the college and all of its support that I was able to push past my fears and insecurities and start actively working on my personal goals and to start my blog. The love and positivity that overflows from this community every week is something so amazing, and it's doing great things not only in myself, but in others in the college as well. I'm so grateful that I listened to that gut feeling and made that one small choice of bravery in signing up. Because of that small choice, I have been able to achieve things so much bigger and better than I had hoped. Thank you so much, Trish, for all of your hard work you put into us and all of those in the College of Confidence. Much love, Victoria Lewis. And Victoria, that is a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that with me. And I wanted to share that here on the air so other people that are thinking the same thing, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if this community thing is for me. Y'all, listen to your gut. Just give it a go. Act like a pirate. Jump in and join us today. We've got an amazing month of getting free of comparison and leveraging our life to the next level. And it's something that you can jump into if you have business goals, you have personal goals, if you have professional goals. It is what Victoria describes, this love and positivity that overflows in this community is transformational. So come join us right now today. Listen to your gut. Don't overthink it and sign up at trishblackwell.com/college. Now go out there today, guys. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.